Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. A packed hearing continues at the State House this hour over a bill that would remove limits on abortion in Massachusetts. Hundreds of pro-life and pro-choice advocates are in attendance. The bill, or the Roe Act, would let women get an abortion after 24 weeks of pregnancy in cases of fatal fetal anomalies. It would also get rid of parental consent requirements for teenagers seeking an abortion. We spoke with Senate President Karen Spilka just before the hearing began about what she expects to happen today.
I first and foremost want to say and put it on the record that the Senate will always protect access to women's reproductive health care and a woman's right to choose. That's really important to start out with. But the Roe Act is being heard today. I anticipate a lot of stakeholders, public will testify, many people bringing personal testimony to the committee, and that's exactly how the legislative process is supposed to work. So I believe it'll probably be a long committee hearing, and then the committee will report it out, and we'll refine and we'll debate the bill based on what we hear.
What is the difference between what will be legal after 24 weeks under the new bill specifically than under the current law?
Right now, after 24 weeks, the only reason that a woman could have an abortion is for the woman's health is at risk. This would add a second category so that if there is a fatal fetal abnormality, then that the pregnancy could be terminated as well.
What are the couple of other most important provisions as you see them, and could you explain them for our listeners a little, please?
Well, right now, for minors, women under 18 years of age, they need either the parental consent or a process called a judicial bypass where they can go to a judge and get a judicial bypass if they can't discuss this with their parent or legal guardian. This would remove the consent piece so that a woman under 18 years of age could have an abortion as well.
Can you imagine and understand that there will be parents who will be really concerned about the idea of children so young pursuing abortions without parental consent? Can you understand why that would be an emotional issue for parents and maybe even individual legislators? And what do you have to say to that concern? How do we address that as we go through considering this act?
I definitely understand that the possibility of removing consent could be incredibly difficult, controversial, painful for parents and legal guardians. This is not an easy issue. It is a very emotional issue. And the Senate wants to hear, and that's one reason why the legislative process is so important. And the hearing today, to hear stakeholders, to have the public testify, as I said earlier, to let people share their personal stories, their personal testimony to the committee, and then we go back in the Senate and we discuss all of that, and so we will see what the final bill will have.
The chairman of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee, Jim Lyons, has called this bill or says that it promotes infanticide. How would you respond to that?
I would say this bill does no such thing. This is when there is a clear fetal abnormality that the fetus is not growing, the fetus has no brain. The doctor can tell now. Technology and all the medical equipment can tell when a fetus is no longer growing.
So there's been some reporting that this legislation removes instructions to physicians regarding responsibilities toward a fetus after the abortion. Should it be potentially viable? I think I hear you saying you don't see a likelihood of that being a circumstance. If it
right.
were,
I mean, if the fetus in effect, an example would be that the brain has stopped growing or something, then the fetus is deemed not viable. And again, the way that the bill is written now will, if it comes to the floor, it will be changed along the process. It'll be changed probably out of committee. It'll go to the House or the Senate. It'll be changed in either branch. So, and then there's the conference committee. So there's a lot of room for clarification, and this is early in the process.
So Governor Baker has said that he supports the state's current abortion laws, which, as you noted, are more restrictive for abortions that are allowed after 24 weeks. This expansion is a big fight playing out in the state house today. But if the governor's not on board, what will that mean for the future of a bill like this?
Well, again, we'll have to see what the final bill does. So, you know, I don't know what the governor's position will be on any final bill.
We are talking to Senate President Karen Spilka. I'm going to move on to education funding now, President Spilka. There's a new report from the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center today that finds that state lawmakers need to address a $1 billion gap between two bills focused on overhauling state education funding. $1 billion is a big gap. Does that concern you?
Well, again, we have several bills. I know the study that you're referring to that came out refers to two bills. There are several bills that are being considered by the Education Committee. So this still is in the process, but I am very hopeful and hope that we will see a final bill on the governor's desk by the end of this year.
So right now, the bill that is endorsed by the governor is $1 billion below the one that's endorsed by the Mass Teachers Association and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. That second bill, the higher priced one called the Promise Act, was proposed in part by Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz. The report called it a more aggressive bill. Here's Colin Jones, an analyst for the Massachusetts Budget and Policy Center.
We do have to be honest, though, because a more generous approach is going to mean that the state is going to have to come up with this revenue to support that plan. And so we don't want to forget that aspect of it, that if you do a bigger and bolder reform, you also need to figure out how to have adequate, steady revenue to pay for it.
President Spilka, of those two plans, which do you think makes the most sense for Massachusetts?
There are more than two plans before the committee, so I think the committee is looking at all of it and trying to reach consensus.
Okay, let's shift gears again. There was a red line train, as you know, that derailed last week, and a green line train the previous weekend, which caused massive delays, and the repairs are still ongoing. We know that commuters have faced continued delays. We're having a conversation on our show today about the funding for the MBTA. Do you think the state should invest more?
I think that this is something that the governor is looking a lot at, whether or not the state should invest more in the MBTA in general. I believe that we need to invest more in our transportation infrastructure across the state. A few weeks ago, we were deemed to be number one in the country in congestion and traffic. We need to change that, and we need to take action. So that's why I have a transportation working group looking at what do we need to do and how can we pay for it.
Okay, and our last little bit of time, President Spilka, I don't want to lose you without just asking you about your broader agenda. We last spoke at the very beginning of the new year, and you laid out your biggest priorities then as education funding, health care, economic advancement fueled by technology and innovation, transportation. What do you view as your biggest accomplishment so far this year?
I believe my biggest accomplishment is starting out the year having a very strong Senate. I'm very proud of the down payment on education funding reform in the Senate budget. We took a huge step forward in funding the Foundation Budget Review Commission's recommendations more than ever before in the history of Massachusetts. We've already passed Lift the Cap on Kids and Gender X and banned conversion therapy and distracted driving, but we're already working hard on, as I said, education, transportation, climate change, mental health, having a transformative approach. We're looking at housing, creating more affordable housing across the state, and we are working to move Massachusetts forward.
That's Senate President Karen Spilka. Thanks for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much. Have a terrific day.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.